It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Jim McCormick, co-founder and COO of AgMarket.net. It's the farm division of John Stewart & Associates, and they're rolling out their planted acreage estimates ahead of USDA's annual acreage report. We'll talk with Jim McCormick in just a moment. First off, let's look at pasture and rangeland conditions. USDA's Brad Rippey.
We see pasture and rangelands rated at least 40%, very poor to poor, in five states across the Rockies and Great Plains, led by Nebraska at 73% and followed by Colorado at 63% and Wyoming at 60%. Also still dealing with lingering pasture impacts in the Mid-Atlantic. We see numbers greater than 50% very poor to poor on June 21st in Delaware, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Jim McCormick. Jim is a co-founder and COO of AgMarket.net. I bet you can guess what the website address is, AgMarket.net. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And I kind of stole the thunder there, the AgMarket.net thunder, but tell me about AgMarket.net. Who are you? How'd you do it now that we know where to find you?
AgMarket.net is a company that was formed from four different partners back in about 6 years ago. We formed the company. AgMarket.net's the name. Same, find us on the website right there. We got about 29 brokers that work for us total. We specialize in the agricultural marketing, hedging, consulting business is our primary activity.
So a little background about you leading up to what you did 6 years ago, but how'd you get into the business? Did you grow up in ag?
Well, I actually grew up in Southern Indiana. I went to school at Purdue University, graduated with a degree in ag business management way back in 1994. Coming out of Purdue, I worked for a food company as a grain merchandiser for a little less than a year. Some circumstances beyond my control moved on, and I ended up being involved in the brokerage business in the spring of 1995, and I've been a commodity broker ever since. And then, like I said, about 6 years ago, myself, Brian Split, Bill Biederman, and Matt Bennett formed a group together, and we formed AgMarket.net. And like you said in the introduction, I'm the COO.
Okay. And you look back at where we've been over that time, I mean, 20 plus years, we've seen a lot of changes in markets, and one of those, open outcry, completely gone. So, I mean, you've been able to weather a few storms in there, but when you look back to your first days to where we are today, can you even recognize, I mean, would you recognize where we are today if you weren't here?
It's definitely changed. I mean, to age myself, when I started, I was actually a runner on the floor. So I ran on the floor, essentially taking those orders from, you know, that from the phone, you know, from the phone desk and running it to the pit, getting the fill and running it back and then handing it back to the phone clerk and essentially handing off the bills. And then moving on to be a broker. Yes. I mean, the big thing is just how fast everything moves. I mean, back when I started, a big move would be 2 or 3 cents. So I think the limit move in corn is roughly 12 cents. And it was a big deal to have a limit move at that time. Now the movement of 2 or 3 cents happens in seconds. The way that information comes, we've had this big crop report coming out here next week. You know, in years back, it took a while. You had to market the trade. You didn't trade live through the report, so you had time to digest it. Now those reports hit, the algos take a hold of it, and it just runs. So the biggest thing I can say is we still market grain like we did 30 years ago, but just the speed of execution and how quick you got to react to it, that's been the biggest change in my opinion.
Yeah, I think of it kind of like baseball. You're playing in the major leagues now, and you have to practice hitting a slider and a curveball and obviously the fastball. But that really gets us to really the main point here. And you mentioned we get a report from USDA. It's coming out on Tuesday. This is an annual acreage report. Comes out every year at the end of June, we'll also get a quarterly grain stocks report. When you kind of step back and look at what USDA could be putting out here, what are your thoughts? I know agmarket.net's got some estimates out there.
What we're looking for is a corn acres to come in at 94.9 million acres. That's down a little bit from the March survey, which was 95.3, and definitely down from a year ago when we planted 98.8 million acres. A lot of that has to do with the dip in the fertilizer price. That dip has to do with fertilizer prices and maybe a little bit of excess moisture in part of the Midwest where we just couldn't get the corn in, and that shifted some acres to beans. Hence, we're looking for the bean acres. They were at 84.7 million acres in March. We think that survey is going to come in closer to 85.3 million acres, a pretty good jump from last year's acreage of 81.2 million acres.
Again, we're talking with Jim McCormick. Jim is with agmarket.net. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Jim McCormick. Jim's with agmarket.net. And Jim, we're talking about USDA's report that's coming out on Tuesday and agmarket.net out with some estimates here. You just gave those to us in the last segment there. How do you think your estimates alongside with USDA's planting intentions numbers from earlier this year, how do you think all of this kind of comes together?
Well, it's going to give the trade an idea where it's at. The one thing to remember, Tony, on these acreage estimates, they are surveys from the producers. So, and to be quite honest, the survey response rate has been falling dramatically over the last couple of years, which means you're not getting quite as good of data points. And that will leave some room for some error. A year ago, the difference between the March survey and the final corn acreage number was an increase of 3 million acres. So what I tell the listeners out there is we're going to trade this. As I mentioned, the computers are going to run with it, and we need to trade with it. That'll be the number we use in the July WASDE from here on out until we get the more solid answers on acreage when everyone certifies their acres from the insurance levels. So we'll see what it is. Like I said, that's where we're at. There is another number we are going to get out there, Tony. The corn numbers is usually the big one, and that's going to be the corn stocks number. You look at what happened on March 1, we had a record amount of corn stocks at 9.02 billion bushels. When we look at where demand estimates put the June 1 stocks, we're looking somewhere around 5.4 billion bushels. That would be the largest June 1 stocks on record, I believe. And that's 17% higher than a year ago level. So what we could see is a little bit friendly number on the corn side of the equation on the acreage, but the stocks number may be viewed a little bit negative. We'll have to just see how that number plays out on Tuesday.
Hey, Jim, we roll back to last week and we had quite a few flash sales. I had a somewhere close to 23 to 25 million bushels in flash sales reported by USDA. And again, I know some of that's going to be new crop. Some of it will be old crop. But are we meeting demand estimates when it comes to the exports?
On the corn, we definitely are. The odds are when it's all said and done, the government's going to have to raise their export demand on the corn. The bean demand is still going to struggle. We did start seeing some bean demand, Tony, from China last week, which is very, very important. China committed last fall to buy 12 million metric tons of old crop beans, 25 million metric tons of new crop beans. They hadn't seen any purchases from China officially, maybe some unknown destinations that could be China, but no official destinations to China. until last week. So that is a very good sign that China's starting to move into the market. On the corn, that's the wild card. Remember, Tony, they talked about buying up to 17, the White House, I should say China was going to buy up to $17 billion worth of ag goods above and beyond the bean purchases. So we haven't seen that yet. That's what the market's looking for. And that's going to be the one thing I think that could really get the market excited is you could get these Chinese buyers in. The question is when.
We're talking with Jim McCormick. Jim's with agmarket.net. We'll be back to wrap things up on the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Jim McCormick. Jim's with AgMarket.net. We've been talking about USDA reports coming out on Tuesday, that acreage report. We've got a grain stocks report. Jim, I want to go back to last year for a moment because that was a number that when we started looking at USDA's number, we're going, wait, no way. And the deeper we got into the year, the more we kept thinking, there's no way. When we finally ended up with the final numbers on 2025 in that crop, how close was USDA? Are they routinely close with these numbers, these estimates, or is this one where they're within, 10 or 15%?
Well, this one gets a little bit tricky because there's two big reports that the grain trade follows. You got the month report where they kind of make their corrections. Okay, Tony, and you mentioned it. We know how the exports go. We know what we export beans. We know what we crush on the beans. We know what we turn into ethanol. The corn, the wild card is the feed and residual category. We just don't know how much corn theoretically is being fed to the livestock industry. Do they feed more corn? Do they feed more Milo? Do they feed more meal? We don't know how that is. So what happens is we get this number, then about every quarter, the government does a survey to try to find out how much grain is on hand as of June 1. And that'll allow us to back into the feed number and find out how accurate the feed number is. The industry is questioning it. I shouldn't say questioning, but it was pondering where that number is going to be, because a year ago, the feed usage and residual category was 5,454,000,000 bushel. This year, it's 6.2 billion. So you're looking a huge increase year on year is what the USDA has dialed in for this year's corn demand. A big up movement is the feed number. This number on Tuesday will help give us clarification. Is that feed number accurate, or is it overstated, I should say?
Could it be that when you add basically the exports along with the feed demand that we've had, we'll end up pretty much at the same number that we had last year, with just the exports higher, the feed number lower, because at this point Mexico's admitting it. They're importing more corn for the domestic feed industry.
Well, that's probably what could hopefully happen in probably the best case scenario. I fear, I lean to think that the feed number is a little bit too high, and we're going to find out next week that they're going to have to lower that feed number. But what hopefully is going to happen is you're going to see them raise the export number a little bit and even raise the ethanol grind a little bit, and that will offset each other and keep that ending stock number trending lower instead of higher.
So interesting. Glad you took a few minutes to visit with us today. Again, if we want to keep up with you and agmarket.net, Jim, how do we do it?
Best way to do it, you said it. Go to agmarket.net.
All right. Jim McCormick, co-founder and COO of Ag Market.net. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dudley Hoskins is Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs at USDA.
Total submissions, and we broke them into four different categories. The first priority for us was anything we could do to enhance sterile fly production. Any project that was submitted that would improve our production capacity, whether it was technology or technique, different diets for the screwworm as they're being raised and harvested. The second bucket, we really focused on traps and lures. Novel tools in that space was something we really wanted to focus on. The third bucket was anything we could do to enhance therapeutics and different treatments. Grateful to our FDA colleagues. They have been working overtime with some of the emergency use authorizations and conditional approvals they've made, I think, on 12 or 13 different products at this point. The last bucket for the Screwworm Grand Challenge was on anything to help bolster preparedness and response.
It's the Agribusiness Report.